Why don't we have a subcommittee and take a test drive?
I don't think we want a full committee in this one, we don't.
I get on a Saturday, 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't want a full committee here. I have a bed at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Senator Howe, four members of this committee sit on the labor committee, and we started at 7 this morning.
We have the labor pains starting at 7.
Is that all right? Please go ahead. Will that be all right, Senator Howe? Subcommittee number one of the local government urban affairs committee will come to order and pick up the Senate Bill L-825. Senator Howe.
Is it the one with the turkey feathers? Right, there it is.
Don't have to report it out, actually.
This bill, Mr. Chairman, was, I never thought that I would be asking for ad valorem relief exemption, because I've advocated at one time or another eliminating many exempt categories, but this is a category that I believe is really evasive of being justifiably and equitably ad valorem taxed and is inequitably. I'd like to read to you, which I'll then give you, a letter addressed to me, which in effect comprises my testimony too. The letter is from Jerry Melton, the executive director of the Oregon Arts Commission. I write in support of the bill, which would exempt original art objects by living artists from the ad valorem tax related to those objects to art galleries on consignment. That's the thrust of the bill. My opinions are based on the following factors. Specific prices on works of art by unestablished artists, and the majority of young artists are arbitrary. Prices are quoted by the artist, even though a market for those fine arts works might not be present. And subsequently, those same prices are carried forward by the art gallery, realizing that it might take years to establish a significant market, if ever. In other words, Mr. Chairman, the artist brings in 10 pictures. The artist and the gallery prices them. Here's the gallery being taxed on carrying an inventory of 8 $100 works, which may never move at $100. Which may, in fact, all be returned to the artist, which may go down to $75. In some remote instance, those given 8 works might accrue in price, but normally that's not the case if they have sold at those prices. Fine, subsequent works by the artist will demand higher price. The inventory of works is not owned by the art dealer on consignment. Thus, until a solid market is established, it would be unfair for the dealer to pay both an inventory tax plus taxes on income, his dealer's share of the sales income, which may or may not come about. He would pay taxes on income, of course, if it did come about. But the inventory tax is currently a fact. The same inventory tax should not be applied to the artist either. His or her financial position is equally as arbitrary as that of the art dealer. Extremely few artists derive their income from their work, meaning the principal percentage of their income from their work. They have to work ancillary jobs to subsist, to exist. An inventory tax would simply shut off significant amounts of creative work. Well, the would is an incorrect statement. The word should, it is, not would. In attempting to build up a reputable, competent, professional art dealers group in Oregon, there is a little enough impetus to do this, knowing that most of those dealers exist in the same financial area of the artist. That area is one of some additional income-producing subsidy from other efforts. In short, few if any dealers are producing enough financially to derive a full income from the sale of works of fine arts. I believe that professional art galleries must be encouraged. They represent that competent vehicle for assisting in public fine arts education and providing a visual and financial forum for contemporary artists. Passage of this bill will reach far beyond the involvement of the art dealers per se. Sellers of works of fine art should be encouraged in Oregon. They provide far more services to the art than they produce income. I don't believe any dealer resents having to pay taxes more than any of the rest of us. But a tax on arbitrarily priced, consigned works of art would strike the death blow to the few fine galleries in Oregon. So the purpose of the bill, Mr. chairman is to exempt from such taxation to get the works of art in the galleries.
I have a little technical problem with wording the bill. Original art objects created by a living artist. I assume all art objects are created by a living artist.
Well, not necessarily. But once the artist has died.
I know, but I'm talking about the wording of the bill. So I think the way it should read, to accomplish the purpose, would be original art objects are exempt from ad valorem. Early in the morning, taxation when the creating artist is living and when in the hands of an art gallery on consignment.
Fine.
I have a question for
Senator Carson.
Do you have any idea of what
Senator Halleck, we have a committee rule against smoking in our committee. I'm sorry.
I've waited a long time.
You can chew it, though. I don't think I have any questions. Chairman, I do have a question, then. Do we know what the fiscal impact, if any, on this would be?
I don't know if legislative fiscal analyzed it. I didn't.
Does it have a substitute for the way it means?
I don't think so. I don't have a count. I question the loss of the state of ad valorem income. It would be significant at all. But I suppose you should ask what they do these things automatically. Let's play a fiscal reform section and all.
I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do normally every time.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's the teacher when, say, I'm the same artist, but I'm not, and I've got taken pictures of my own home.
And you what?
I have 50 pictures that I painted of my own at home. I say I did. But who comes around and checks those? What kind of inventory are those on?
Well, you're not licensed in your own home, and whether it's in Hood River or Portland, you're not paying a business license, and hence you're not officially in the business of conducting an art gallery. That's what you're telling me. But you're selling pictures out of your own home?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the Chair and Senator Carson are attorneys. I doubt that Senator Jernstedt's home, I doubt, would mean an establishment engaged solely in the display and sale of art objects or supplies and so forth. It is, I guess, primarily his home, not a gallery as defined in sub 2.
I think the point he's getting at is what's the status now? If I'm a painter and I have 30 pictures, should I be declaring inventory tax on my 30 pictures and painting my house that I painted?
I guess the assessor, assuming the assessor involved, would certainly feel that you should be.
Well, see, that's the problem. If they're your painting my house, I don't pay any tax. We don't tax personal property. But if they're my, you see, if they're inventory held for sale, I think is the key.
Right.
Then I think you'd get into the inventory tax problem.
Well, if he's holding. He's holding my paintings in his house. Does he have a gallery? I guess he does. And yes, I guess it's susceptible to taxation, but not his paintings in his house, right?
Well,
why not?
Well, if he's running a gallery.
Well, if it's a gallery, it's known as a German that gallery.
It's an inventory, yeah.
Well, are there any other questions of Senator Halleck? Are there other witnesses here on 825? Will you testify on this?
I'm Arlene Spencer, and I'm at the Fountain Gallery of Art, and I've had my business for 12 years, and I'm speaking for the exemption of the ad valorem taxation on original art created by artists on consignment to art galleries. Most of the art galleries functioning in the state of Oregon, and I could really extend it beyond that, provide service far beyond any sales income that they receive from the buying public. If this tax, inventory tax, were to be on the arch and sign, the option for most of the galleries would really be to be out of business. I know this certainly would apply to me. As far as functions that the gallery provides to the community, I think it important that your committee know how many educational services that we provide, not only through the state of Oregon. I don't think there are very many public school educational institutions throughout the state, higher education, that do not bring classes or tours through the gallery. We're on the regular stop with the Art Museum. We get classes ranging from kindergarten all the way on through graduate school. Up into that come down from the state of Washington and throughout Oregon. We provide exhibitions to most of these educational institutions throughout the state. We've even been in the process of providing some jobs for people. We're a training ground for museum personnel that have gone on to work in museums. There are very few opportunities for people to really learn how to operate in this area of the life. One of the most important things that I think the gallery does provide is keeping the young people in the state instead of having them all run away to other states such as California and the East. I think it's important. I think we've come to agree that culture is a necessary part for a to maintain a vital community, and by having viable places where artists can exhibit their work with the hope of selling work, we are able to keep the art community alive and vital.
Are there questions of Mr. Carson?
Mr. Schnitzer, I'm not very familiar with, I'm not familiar at all with the present law, as I understand it. You do pay an inventory tax even on those works of art that are in your establishment that are on consignment.
I believe that the law now calls for an inventory tax on consignment.
And that's done periodically, and so every time somebody has something in your shop, you have to list it at the price he's asking, even though you may not.
I have worked in that gallery that when I bring them in, I know that they will never sell. I've had work in that gallery 5 and 6 and 7 years that I know I never going to sell. But it is important to exhibit them. It is an artist speaking for our area, for our time, and it's providing something far beyond just having this painting there just to make a sale.
At a given time in your shop, how many pieces of art do you have?
Thousands. I carry about at cost around a $300,000 to $400,000 inventory. So when I say that an inventory tax would close my business, I'm not kidding. I happen to be larger than most galleries, but the same principle still applies no matter what size the gallery is.
Well, they have not been applying inventory tax, is that correct?
Right.
Feel the threat, right? Well, is that where we are? They haven't done it, but they're about to.
I don't know. This is a strange situation because if everybody, every artist there would come up the day before inventory, come in and load them in their trucks and then leave them there overnight, no one would pay any inventory tax, and then bring them back and put them in there the next day, and they would.
December 31st would be a pickup.
That is what has been done in California. It's a mess.
Are there further questions? Thank you. Pat McLean?
McLean. I have I'm Pat McLean. I have a very small, serious art gallery. I pass this around. This is a revision, and it's a revision to the bill, yes.
You thought it would be a revision.
Yes, I sure did. But this is just a... I think it's more clear and concise than the bill as it was originally drafted.
Yes.
I'm here to speak for the, primarily for the artists, and secondarily for the art gallery owners. The bill, or the law as it stands now, states that merchandise on consignment or in possession by the 31st of December of each year must have an inventory tax paid upon it. And the tax assessor has informed me that art galleries come under this law. Now, he said to me that I, as an art gallery owner, do not have to pay this tax, this inventory tax, on consigned work. He says that I can ask the artist, the owner, if the bill, the law states this can be charged to the owner of this merchandise, which in this, my case, would be the artist. I could not, in good conscience, as a promoter and a person who is vitally interested in the encouragement of art and the artist, could not ask the artist to pay a percentage, whatever this percentage is. I could not ask this artist to pay on a work of art that he has created, which he has no idea of the marketability of this work. This is not established by most of our young artists, and I feel that the law as it stands now is an unfair one, because it's arbitrary primarily, and I feel that the artist should not be asked to pay a tax on something he has created, which may or may not ever sell. Most times it does not sell.
Are there questions with the claim failure?
This is kind of you too, Lloyd. In the last section on his proposed amendment, the same thing is kind of true in the bill. Then, art gallery means an establishment that engages solely in the display and sale of art objects. I represent an area that, where I can think of two or three art galleries that are in connection with, let's say, a photography shop. Now, according to the wording of this, his shop for art display wouldn't come under, because he's engaged in something else besides the display of art.
That's correct. But the photographer's shop is not an art gallery, sir.
All right, but in connection with that shop, he has an art gallery. So because he also has a business over here, he couldn't, his art gallery showings would be taxed. Isn't that true as well?
Not work on consignment would not be taxed.
Well, what I'm saying is the art gallery means an establishment engaged solely in the display and sale of art objects.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt just 1 second. Senator Meeker has to leave. There's one thing I want to get done before he goes. Just sit right where you are. We're going to another subject for a second. We're going to Senate Bill 796. Dunbar, as I understand it, this is a companion bill to another one, and it was through mistake it was assigned to this committee. As I understand it, we pass it out without a recommendation. Senator Bowe put a reassignment on. Is that correct?
I think you need to recommend that it be reassigned.
Yeah, he said just to pass it out without a recommendation.
That would mean it comes before.
Well, it's got a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Oh,
and I think what he wanted to do is pick it up in between there and put it in another committee, and he'll probably suspend the rules and go with that.
As long as it doesn't come to the floor without.
No, it's not. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
If it's without recommendation, Mr. Chairman, something.
Pardon me?
It'll come to the floor.
Yeah, I move it to, I guess, move it to the floor.
Out of the committee without recommendation.
Yeah.
All right. You heard the motion. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 796 is on its way, okay? Now you go to the president's office and make sure Cecil knows about it and tell him that the president's got to put us up to referral, okay?
Right, thanks.
All right. Okay, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me for interrupting.
This revision of 825, I feel is more clear and concise, but I don't say it's a perfect draft. The art gallery owners plan, we hope soon, to form an art dealers association at which point the term art gallery perhaps can be better defined. But this, for our purposes, I felt this was clear enough, sir. So you can, I'm sure, find...
Well, my point is...
Word problem.
I think the point really is it takes several requirements. First of all, it has to be an art object. It has to be done, so the artist has to be living. It has to be in the hands of an art gallery on consignment. So this is the core requirements in order. Mm-hmm. So it's very tightly drawn, which is generally a pretty good idea. I think Senator Jernstedt's concern is art gallery is a little broader in the original bill and considerably more narrow in yours. Mm-hmm. And what he was exploring was that there are other types of art that perhaps would hang in a photography shop that wouldn't be eligible for the ad valorem exemption because they don't hang in a gallery.
No, my situation is that here you have a gallery on this part of the
store. Well, I mean an art gallery by definition is very, you can't, it has to be gauged solely in display and sale of art.
That's what disturbs me. Because
let's point out
in some of these areas that in no way is there enough population to, and it might be just kind of a hobby with the fellow and doing a real community service, and he'd be stuck with it because he is engaged in some other type of business besides that art gallery.
Does taking the word solely out there bother you any more?
Well, I really appreciate the attempt both in the original bill and to be narrow. I think that when you're drawing exemption, it should be very narrowly drawn. We're not trying to benefit the art galleries.
No.
We're trying to benefit the artists.
Right.
And I think that's what I think we're going to do.
Have you seen these amendments, Arlene?
Pardon me?
Do you have a copy of the amendment?
Yes.
Does the fact, the word, the last line and the last four words on the next to last line are stricken, does that present any problem?
And we strike the word solely?
Or supply, though. On the original bill, we take out, after art objects, there's a period, and you cut out the words or supplies or performance of services in connection with artist endeavors. Does that present any problem to the gallery?
I did you look at the revision?
I'm just showing what the revision does.
Yeah, it takes out all
excuse me, Senator, what are you asking me?
All right, do you have the original bill there?
Yes, I do.
All right. What the amendment does, it strikes from line 8, or supplies or performance, line 9, of services in connection with artist endeavors, artistic endeavors. Does that present any problem to the art gallery if those words are stricken?
No. What does bother me a little bit is this living bit.
Well, that's what the original bill tried to say.
Right. Because there are, in other words, the consignment, I think, is the important thing.
I think the purpose of the bill, as described to us by Senator Halleck,
is to
we're talking about,
artists.
Is to assist artists before they become well known and so forth.
Well, the significant thing, Mr. Chairman, if I may, and Arlene might want to speak to it, is that one of the differences between the amendment, I think the amendment does in section one what you were striking it to do, and that is a better arrangement, your amendment, a little better arrangement of wording. But the second one, the significant part in redefining art gallery, is that, as I read it, anybody who sells supplies, in addition to having an art gallery, or performance of services such as teaching art in connection with an art gallery is not an art gallery. So, about the only, and it gets back to Senator Jernstedt's question, is if you do anything in your shop other than sell pictures, you don't qualify for this exemption.
But there are, for instance, even in Portland, we have a one art gallery that is run. There is also a shop connected with that gallery, but in the true sense of the word art gallery, it would operate and it would be defined under the rules by this new organization that's complaining. It would qualify as an art gallery, even though there are other endeavors upstairs. Now, this is exactly, in many cases, as Senator Heller pointed out, most art galleries are able to continue because of other sources of income.
Then you'd be opposed, and that was the question of the chairman, you'd be opposed to the deletion of the words or supplies or performance of services in connection with artistic endeavors. That's what I think the chairman is getting at.
I don't think those words are essential to the bill.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me we resolve the thing by either just striking the word
solely.
And I don't see any problem with you.
No.
Yeah, because, Mr. Chairman, the reason I don't think it's important in this instance is, or as important, is that we're really not trying to protect the art gallery. We're trying to protect the individual. And the art gallery is still going to get stuck for inventory tax on their paint and canvases and stuff that they own, their supplies. They're going to have
that they own.
Yeah, they own. So it's only those on consignment. So I think we really don't care whether the photographer has some on consignment or he's a full artist. Gallery or he teaches or whatever.
I think the word solely distinguishes the pure art gallery from a situation such as would be in a large department store where they also sell paintings, but which could not be considered an art gallery.
You will also find that most institutions like Norm Thompson's has a gallery. The post office has a gallery, all the department stores have a gallery, but you will find that almost entirely they own those works. Those works are not on consignment.
But if they were on consignment, wouldn't it be all right to have them all?
Yes, now, for instance, I think what you were talking about in Oregon City, there is a camera store called Mr. Fix with a gallery called the Shadow Gallery in connection with it, which shows photography on consignment. So that really will.
That's okay if that
concludes. All right. Thank you very much. That concludes the hearing on Senate Bill 825. And what we'll do next time is, I sense the consensus of the committee, somebody will move the amendment as amended, which will strike solely in subparagraph 2 of Section 1. All right. We make a note of that. That'll be motion. As soon as we get another committee member here or at the next committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, now, is there anybody here on Senate Bill 501?
I am.
All right. Now, on Senate Bill 502, all right, let's go to 532 and 535 and straight to the back. Now, 535, I know what the problem is, but that one was the only problem of that, falling on line 15 there, where he said, inadvertent. Did you carry that?
Which one's this?
On 535.
No, there was a whole flock of it.
On 535?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have amended the bill, and I dropped by. Whether it was Thursday, whether it was Friday, to the dean, and he's been trying to get a hold of me.
You have those?
I got them right here. I got one copy. For the benefit of the committee, there were basically three concerns. Item number one was the question that Senator Tia raised. To me, they were all, it would have to be one of those days where people were seeing spots, and they raised the issue of. Ken and I talk a lot.
All right.
No problem. Mr. Chairman, the first concern was Senator Tia's, which was concerned that by the self-help provision contained in Section 3, this would, Section 2 speaks both to signs along the highway right-of-way and signs on private property that are viewable from the highway. And because Section 3 is a self-help provision, there was a fear that, that this would enable a trespasser to come upon the land and burn down a barn or something upon which a sign has been painted. I never had. So, to resolve that problem, I broke the amendment, broke the bill into two major parts. One that speaks, the new Section 2 would delete on line 10 reference to private property, so the comma and the or on line 10, all on line 11 and line 12 up through owner's written consent would be deleted, so that it only speaks, Section 2 only speaks to the issue of signs along a highway or right-of-way, county road right-of-way. Section 3 is then a self-help, so that we can take down the signs that are along the county right-of-way, except in the incorporated city limits. Then I created a new Section 5, but Section 4 is the same. Well, let me go to, well, I would jump to what I call Section 5, and then I repeat the language, except I take out the reference to the county road. So we have Sections 2 and 3 relating to road right-of-way, and we have a new Section 5 and a new Section 6 that relate to private property. And on Section 5, there is no exception. It just says no person shall put any sign on private property without the consent of the owner, which I think is the law anyway, but restates it. Then it does say, and I think this is a salutary aspect, it does say the owner of the property may lawfully remove or destroy without resorting to legal. And I think that's important. I think a lot of farmers find a campaign sign on their farm property, and they don't want it up, but they're not sure quite what to do with it. This gives them statutory authority to burn it or make it a chicken house out of it or whatever they want. So that's the first one, and I think, and I talked to Senator T, and I believe that satisfies his concern. The second concern was raised by Senator Halleck, which here again, the bill was not sufficiently specific, and he foresaw some demons in it that I don't really think are there, but could be interpreted, and that is his concern was the whether or not the county court had approval of all signs everywhere, whether or not you had to ask the county court to put up signs on your own property and so on. So on line 24 in Section 4, we now say the act doesn't prevent, and I'm going back to Section 4, doesn't prevent the posting or maintaining of any notices required by law or maintained or any of the others within the right-of-way limits of any county road, I insert after the utility comma on line 24. The intent there being is that the only place the county court has authority for the erection of signs is in fact on county property in their right-of-way. I believe that satisfies the concern of Senator Halleck. I would ask Dean when he runs this through as a council that we may want to, I used right-of-way, that was Senator Halleck's preference. So we probably ought to conform on line 10 within the limits of any right-of-way. I'll just write it in. Of any county road. I think it's specific, but that's okay. The final question was Senator Stevenson asked, and I didn't know the answer, but I'd like to have Dean research at the present time. The new Section 7, which is the old Section 5, says violation of Section 2 is punishable upon conviction by fine not exceeding $100 for each violation. Thanks to Miriam, I used the minutes in carrying the bill, and we had testimony from Mr. Mike Montgomery that this bill merely replaces an older bill that was inadvertently repealed by the Highway Beautification and Travel Information Act of 1971. Senator Stevenson asked, what was the penalty, if any, under the old statute? So I think, Mr. Chairman, if we ever got four members, I would move these amendments and recommend they go to legislative council and have Dean research. research the question of what was under the old statute, and I think the bill's ready to come back in.
If we get the four members this morning, and if not, at our meeting tomorrow night, that's on 8:25 and 5:35, first order that will be moving the amendments.
Maybe the thing to do, Mr. Chairman, would be let Dean wash that through, let's let council first, and let's just set it up for him on night. That'd be the thing to do.
Take it down to Steve. Yeah. All right. Now, who carried 5:32?
That was Senator Meeker, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
You remember the problem with that?
Well, this was the one that we got into the irrigation problem of Eastern Oregon farmers, didn't we?
Right. Mike Thorne.
And I really didn't understand, and Bob Smith, and I really didn't understand their concern. I would say that if this repeals the Crescent County law that says that you can't sprinkle on a highway, I'd resist it, because I've seen some very near accidents from running through a sprinkler on a county road.
Is that what they...
That's what we got into, and I didn't see that in there.
Dean, would you check with the council on that?
You might check with Senator Thorne and Thorne and Smith.
Right.
Talk to them, and then go to the legislative council. Is there any problem? Okay.
And I don't really think that's what we're going at, but...
All right.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment to the committee on this? On both 5:32 and 5:35.
Sure.
Thank you. 5:32, it was our intent by using the language discharge to cover the sprinkler. Question. It was the opinion of the Washington County District Attorney that counties had no authority over irrigation sprinkler systems that were discharging water onto the road. So, this is their concern, or maybe it's the tightening down on the farmer sprinkler system that they're concerned about. So.
We've got it now, I'm sure, somewhere in our law. Unless it was repealed last session. We've got a requirement to can't sprinkle the county road.
Well, this is, I think you're possibly thinking of waste from seeping from trucks.
No, that's not the Joe Rogers bill. I'm
very aware of that one.
Got all over my head.
On 5:35, Mr. Chairman, I like the concept of the amendments that Senator Carson is making to this bill. There's one thought that I might throw out to you in Section 3, since you are dividing these two items in Section 2 apart, and the new Section 2 is speaking, as I understand, just to the road right-of-way, that Section 3 possibly should be changed to provide that the roadmaster, for instance, may lawfully remove rather than any person. Because I can see with this type of authority that an individual can see a political sign in the road right away, for instance, come along and uproot it and just leave it right there and not remove it. And I think if we provide a system for them to notify the county and then the county come out and remove it and actually dispose of the sign, might be a better system.
Well, I think that would help both Senator Tia and Senator Halleck in resolving their problem. That's why I resolved it. My concern is that after the absolute unwillingness, inability, and disregard of the state law by both the state highway commission and the law enforcement agencies of the state under our present law dealing with state law, I am a little unwilling to leave it to, unless county government, and it very well may be, substantially more concerned about following the law than the state government is, because the law that presently exists by not putting along the highway, state highway, is deserved more by breach than by compliance. And I'm really unwilling, frankly. I might be willing to try it for 2 years and let the county take it out, because I see the vigilante aspect could get out of hand. On the other hand, I'd sure like some indication from the county that they, when they're notified that there's a sign, that they're going to go out and take it down.
Well, I think that our interest in introducing this bill is from Clackamas County, but it's one that our engineers have been discussing for the 2-year interim period. And I think that they will go after this. They were doing it to some extent in the previous few years until this was brought to their attention that the authority was repealed in 71. Then I know Multnomah County Public Works Director slows down on it.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask then, is the appropriate language that you're talking about, it says any person may lawfully remove or destroy without a can you suggest we change that? Does every county have a roadmaster?
Yes. Roadmaster is common to that chapter 368.
So if we did, as you indicated, and substituted any county roadmaster may lawfully remove or destroy. Mr. Chairman, I would agree. I think this would please the two objectors because it tightens the bill down, and I'm willing to move away from the vigilante aspect as long as the counties intend to. I hate to add the expense to them, but I think it's aggressive.
There's just another thought. This is not being an attorney, I don't know whether this would be necessary or not, but it'd be desirable to have in there on his own initiative or at the request of any person. The county roadmaster named Dustin
On 507 and 812, look at the three ending on those. We don't have a quorum. If we're not too loaded up when tomorrow night, we could add those on there. On 501, we'll reschedule that for hearing along with House Bill 3102. They deal with boundary commission.
Do we have anybody?
Well, Mr. Burney's here on 501, but I think George would be willing to come back. Reschedule. That's right. And it should be there with 3102. We got that bill in, I guess, after we get it. So schedule those for hearings. We got a little time here. Okay, I'll take care of everything on the agenda. We're adjourned.